going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Reagan.
Thanks, Caroline. My question is for Tom. Tom, Reagan Reese with the Daily Caller. Over the weekend, ICE arrested two illegal immigrants for allegedly stealing Secretary Noem's purse over the weekend. What can you tell us about these individuals' immigration history as well as their criminal history?
I don't have their criminal history, but I know the one who stole the purse is supposedly in the country illegally. But, you know, pick the wrong person to steal first from. I mean, Secretary Noem's a strong secretary. I know I've been talking about the success of men and women of the Border Patrol and ICE, but under her strong leadership, she's a game changer. So I'm happy to work with her, despite the media I've read that me and Kristi Noem have differences. Me and Kristi Noem are attached at the hip. There's no daylight between us. We're both going to push the president's agenda. She's a strong secretary, and I'm glad she's in here. And I'm glad, but again, that illegal alien. Picked the wrong person to steal first.
Tom Homan there live at the White House this morning. Welcome back into the show, by the way. Kim, I know you listened to this morning on your way in as well. There's a story on the, I'm just looking. There's Annie Fry. I see Annie Fry on the camera right now in the White House. She's in the press briefing room. I'm listening to a story this morning on the way in about how ICE is mad at Kristi Noem because she's seeking the spotlight, and the agents internally are angry at her for that. And Tom Homan just laid that to rest, didn't he?
Well, first of all, she was a victim of a crime.
Right,
but
true.
But they're saying that she's posting all these pictures and more concerned with a photo op than she did, I guess, is than actually doing the work.
Because she's running for president already, didn't you know that?
Well, let's be real. Don't you think that she will run at some time?
I would guess she might favor herself a nice vice presidential candidate pick for J.D. Vance, don't you think?
I'm sure that there's some truth to her doing that.
Yes.
However, I do think that she's great in the role that she's in. I think she's actually been effective, but at the same time, is she going to take the picture with her in the hard hat and her at the border and her doing all these things? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you heard Homan there talking about it. So I mentioned there offhandedly that Annie is up here for just joining us. She's in D.C. She's in the White House press briefing room. In fact, I just saw her in one of the shots there a minute ago. She's hoping to get to ask a question, and I think it's going to deal with J.B. Pritzker. We'll see if that ends up happening or not. If it does, we'll try to bring that to you live. But they are still in the middle of this press briefing. Apparently, they're going to start doing these. This was breaking news earlier, that they're going to start doing these earlier in the morning. And they've been doing them in the middle of the afternoon, usually during Annie's show. So we might get an opportunity to hear a bit more of these moving forward if this is actually true.
What's the reasoning for that? Do you know?
Well, probably to keep them in the news cycle. Like, you're going to get the attention of all the morning shows if you're carrying this live. Nothing against midday shows at all. I'm not saying it for this reason, but from their perspective, if ABC, NBC, CBS, obviously Fox, MSNBC, if all of these stations are live in the morning with news, not all of them are live all day long with news. So it's an opportunity to get additional information out there.
It's true.
At key parts of the day, because obviously Fox or maybe CNN or somebody might carry it live at 2 in the afternoon, more people are likely to jump in live if something happens during a morning show. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably the reasoning behind it. I could be wrong. but yeah, they just pulled out there. We'll see if I was kind of hoping maybe Caroline would go to Annie since she's standing right next to this
maybe she'll be next.
Lady. I don't know.
Because she would have been looking right in her direction. Let's see if this is she's, she just called on.
Nope.
She called
on Peter Ducey.
Come on, Peter. I thought you already asked a question.
I know. She called on Peter Ducey. All right. Coming up, we're going to get to our friend Jessie Jane Duff. We'll get her take on some of what Homan just said there about the border, because I loved his strong comments there a few minutes ago. One of the reporters asked him, what about the wall? What about the wall? We'll play that for her and get her reaction to it from Tom Homan. And Tom Ackerman at the bottom of the hour on the Big Blues victory yesterday, what it means with them traveling back to Winnipeg. Now that it's even at 2 apiece, did they learn anything? Have they learned the secret to beating Winnipeg? I don't know. It seems like it all starts with Jordan Binnington, because he did a yeoman's job yesterday stopping all those shots on goal. So we'll get to that for you at 6:35. Right now, Ethan, let's roll the top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
We're fighting with Russians, with your enemy, not with your friends, but with your enemies. And we want to have this understanding in the United States and the recognition of the fact that we are partners.
Yeah, Ukraine President Zelensky there trying to negotiate with the American public directly. I don't know. He must not. Maybe he didn't like what Donald Trump said to him when they met over there in Rome.
Nike is apparently funding a study that disfigures young boys to understand if they can be physically impaired enough to compete with girls without significant retained male advantage.
Wow. Riley Gaines with a little bit of breaking news there yesterday on this new study. There are some sick, twisted individuals in the United States.
Judge Dugan is doing what all of us will be called to do in the days and weeks and months to come, and it's standing up for people in our community that are being targeted by the Trump regime.
Yeah, go ahead, Ryan Clancy. He's a Wisconsin state assemblyman. Are you willing to go to jail as well? Because that's what's happening to Judge Dugan.
If someone's in this country unlawfully, that person gets deported. If that person is with a two-year-old child and says, I want to take my child with me, well, then what? You have two choices. You can say, yes, of course you can take your child, whether they're a citizen or not, because it's your child. Or you can say, yes, you can go, but your child must stay behind.
Yeah, Marco Rubio there answering these questions over the weekend. And I thought Tom Homan addressed it very well this morning. We don't deport U.S. citizens, but we do deport illegal aliens. And if they happen to have a child who was born here due to the anchor baby laws and is a U.S. citizen, it's up to the mother whether or not they want to take that child with them when they're deported. They've tried to make that very clear. If you're only watching, you've only heard mainstream media reports on this, the headlines are ICE deported a 3-year-old U.S. citizen to a foreign country. Would lead you to believe, wouldn't it, Kim, when you conjure up the issue, the image there that they threw a bag over this 3-year-old's head and whisked him off to an airplane and flew him down to Nicaragua or wherever he went.
Well, that's what the left wants you to think, that they put him in a cage and they took him under inhumane conditions and forced him across the border.
It is fake news, right? They grabbed the mother. They said, you have a legal order of deportation. We're going to deport you. Do you want the child to go with you? Or do you want to leave them here? And like any mother, they said, I'll take my baby with me.
And keep in mind, these are people who have been warned time and again by the Trump administration, we will find you. Now is a fantastic time to go ahead and just self-deport. These are people who have chosen to stay and run the risk of this happening. They were here in the country illegally.
It's true. And Homan has addressed that issue this morning, in fact, confirming that the U.S. does not deport U.S. citizens. So we will get to that for you coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Oh, is Annie asking? No, it's the guy behind Annie.
Oh, come on.
it's the guy behind Annie is asking a question. Maybe they'll get to Annie next, who's busy typing on her phone
tweeting.
And doesn't realize she's on network television right now.
They said this actually is going to be the last question.
So. Oh, is it really? Oh, bummer. Well, anyway, it's good to see Annie up there, and she's in the picture right now, and Tom Homan is asking the question. So, all right, we're going to get to a quick break here. Coming back, we'll get to Jesse Jane Duff right after the break.
He's not going to pay for it? Is that what you're saying?
Let's address that. Trump said Mexico won't pay for the wall. They have in a roundabout way, have they not? Putting 10,000 military on the northern southern border, taking the action they did, remain in Mexico. They didn't have to do that. They're doing it. Putting military on the southern border. Have moved illegal immigration to a record low. We're saving millions of dollars every day on detention, transportation, removal proceedings. We've more than made up for the cost of that wall because the actions of Mexico. So is Mexico helping build that wall? Yeah, because we're saving so much money, millions of dollars a day, that we can afford to build that wall. So actually, yes, they're helping to build a wall.
I am hard, but I am fair.
Good morning, motivator.
From now on, you will speak only when spoken to.
Take the hill. We got a long week.
Jesse Jane Duff, that was Tom Homan from that news conference that just wrapped up in Washington, D.C. What say you?
Oh, he is so on point. And, you know, when I listen to Tom Homan, you know, you just feel like you get a shot of adrenaline. It feels like you took your B12 that morning. You feel like there's hope, you know, really. Because the reality has been multiple administrations, Republican also, have allowed illegal immigration to go unchecked for decades.
Yes.
They would all get up there and give these great presentations. And then at the end of the day, they did little to nothing. Because you know why? So many of these politicians have profited off of illegal immigration. It was billions of dollar industry. I think it was well over $10 billion at one point, or $100 billion. I don't remember the numbers because it was before the Biden administration I read the numbers, because people pay others under the table. Not only that, human trafficking, prostitution, you name it. And the cartels are very organized. A lot of their money is going into areas that you and I would not even realize. Corporations, PACs, others, you know, as they find workarounds where they filter this money so that people get influenced to vote a certain way. I mean, how often do we see these conservatives that are running around saying, well, stop illegal immigration, then not voting against it right then when they get on the floor? So my point is, Tom Homan is just zero tolerance on this, zero nonsense. And good luck trying to get somebody removed out of an El Salvadorian prison who is an El Salvadorian citizen to bring him back to the United States so he can then turn around, face a judge, to turn around and get deported again. This is just insanity that people are requesting this, and it's not going to happen. And I dare to say that we're going to keep plunging forward, and it's going to be full steam ahead until somebody tries to put that, until, you know, the voters say otherwise.
How many judges do you think will be handcuffed because they're trying to help these illegals?
Well, you know, I think the first two that got handcuffed was quite a demonstration. One of them, her mugshot, was really something it was bottom of the barrel. I really was just more or less thinking, you know, I don't mean to be cruel. I don't like to trash people's appearance, but this was just uncalled for. She looked like she was suffering from morbid obesity, diabetes, everything under the sun, and did no concern for her appearance. I thought, you're a sitting judge. You know, this matters. Appearances do matter. Optics do matter. You know, that's why, you know, people don't take you seriously if you look like you can't even take care of your own self. So it just tells me she's got a whole heck of a lot of other issues that are going on, because she has just gone. So she just looked like she, like, you know, who voted her in? You know, the trailer park. I'm being very vulgar and mean spirited here. But why would you be harboring illegals? Why would you be allowing illegals to get released without being held accountable? Because an American citizen could not get away with all of the garbage that these people have done, let alone those that have been responsible for the murders, rapes, child abuse. And, you know, this fentanyl drug abuse has caused such an outrage in life, you know, people ending their lives in this country unnecessarily throughout the country. Mm-hmm. Fentanyl that's been lacing drugs that kids in college are taking, and they're dying when they take one of these. So, you know, we've had two arrested, so I would dare to say anybody who's on the wrong side of the law right now has really got to really rethink what they're doing.
Yeah, we may need to send you down to the University of Alabama, Jesse Jane. Apparently, the president's going to speak at the graduation down there, and the college Democrats are already planning their protest, their unrest in Alabama.
Well, yeah, good for them. you know, that's nice. What is it we say in the South? Bless your heart.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Bless your heart. Right. You know, bless your heart, Democrats, because you know what? The American people voted for this. And, you know, of all the states you're going to go in and have a protest, the deep, deep, deep red state of Alabama. I mean, I'm sorry. This isn't, you know, Southern California in Los Angeles or San Francisco. This is, you know, a deep red state. So they're going to be outnumbered and they're going to make fools of themselves, because what exactly are you protesting? You know, freedom of speech, I value it. You know, but the problem is many people seem to think that these are organic. Nothing's organic anymore. Many of these things that we have seen uprising, you know, from the Hamas support that was going on in college universities to the BLM riots, none of that was organic. Well-funded people that are answering ads to go and show up, you know, and get paid to be there. So nobody's taking it really very seriously anymore.
It's true. Same with the Tesla protests. We had more of those in St. Louis this weekend. Apparently, people lining up outside the Tesla dealerships. They're mad at Elon for saving them money.
Yeah, right. And let's go after an American company that actually employs thousands upon thousands of American workers. Yeah, so that tells me there's a lot of people unemployed who are answering their ads on Craigslist to hold a sign that says, you know, Trump's a Nazi and, you know, what are the other ones, you know, and Elon Musk is a Marxist. Yeah, okay. You know, how much an hour did you get paid to sell your soul? You know, the 30 pieces of silver, maybe a bit extreme for that at comparison, but people are easily bought and sold when it comes to protests these days.
Boy, that's a great point. Jesse Jane, thank you as always. Love having you on every Monday.
Well, I'm in D.C. I'm taking the hill for everybody. You all can sit back and relax. Everything's going to be fine. I'm here today. The country will be in good hands. Take the hill, motivators.
All right. Thank you. You too. JesseJaneDuff.com. You know, my nephew attends the University of Alabama. I expect him to be out there defending the president. He's not graduating this year, but I hope he'll be out there.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide. There you go. You go, Luke. Go get them. All right, coming up, Tommy Ackerman in the studio. We'll talk about the Blues' big victory and what they got to do next. We'll be back.
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
Catch anything you missed today by getting the show podcast at 971talk.com.
After the president's Truth Social post, the Browns finally took Shedeur Sanders. Does the president think he deserves credit for Sanders getting picked? And does he think going to the Browns is better than being undrafted?
Hey, all I will say is the president put out a statement, and a few rounds later he was drafted. So I think the facts speak for themselves on that one, Peter.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. That happened at the press briefing this morning. Did you follow any of that, Kim? Were you like paying any attention to the Shedeur Sanders thing this weekend?
So is this, I don't know who that is. Is this the guy who?
I guess you.
That's a no.
The answer would be no.
I've seen he's all over the headlines.
Yeah, that's
There's
why.
A lot going on, so I knew that, but I had never heard of him prior to seeing him.
Really?
Is this the guy who had a group of teenagers prank called him?
Yes.
And claimed that he had been drafted?
Yes.
Oh, it's terrible.
Well, here it was. I agree that it was terrible. I don't know how they got his phone number, but this is Deion Sanders' kid.
Oh, okay, that guy.
Yeah, that guy. And okay. He was and Sanders was brought to Colorado to coach, and he brought his kid along with him.
Mm-hmm.
And they had two underwhelming seasons as coach, but they talked about this kid like he was the second coming of John Elway or you pick your favorite quarterback, and supposedly this Shedeur Sanders has got his dad's speed and he's going to be a star in the NFL. And the problem was they bragged about it so much that they kind of oversold it. And I'm not sure there's an NFL owner out there who wanted to have to deal with Deion Sanders. Like, if you take the kid, you're taking the dad. And Sanders is a loudmouth, and he's and when it comes to sports, he's very opinionated on how they call plays. I just couldn't imagine being the coach of Shedeur Sanders, because every day in the media you're going to have the local ESPN or whoever going to Deion Sanders to get his take on whether or not Shedeur should be playing or how he played or the type of offense they're running not working for him. I don't know what kind of quarterback he's going to be, but he's living proof of the fact that if you want to be in the NFL, keep your mouth shut and prove your skill and somebody will take you. I listened to this Stephen A. Smith suggest that he's the latest Colin Kaepernick, that they only didn't pick him because, number one, he's black, which is complete BS, because there are plenty of black quarterbacks playing in the NFL who are stars.
50% of the NFL is black.
Well like, it's probably 80%.
No, 75 for basketball, I thought.
But the point being that they don't care about his skin color.
So dumb.
They care. Like, it's like if Colin Kaepernick could play football, he'd be on an NFL team. Because all they want to do is win. But they also don't like controversy, and they don't like people that are going to upset the cohesiveness in a locker room. And drive
fans away.
Sanders runs the risk of having the exact same impact for the Browns.
Wouldn't they just, I know this would be controversial, but wouldn't they just cut the guy if Deion Sanders is butting his head into so many of these issues, whether it be him not playing enough or whatever? They just say, this isn't worth it. We're cutting ties with you.
I could be wrong about this. And if Tom Ackerman, do we know if we're getting him or not, Ethan?
He hasn't answered me, okay. So I don't know.
So we're waiting on Tommy to come in the studio. He's supposed to be in for this segment. But if you get drafted in the first round, I think you get a guaranteed contract. If you get drafted in the second or third or after that, you'll get a contract that it only pays off if you make the team. So they haven't paid him anything that I'm aware of. I don't think he even get a signing bonus. So he will show up to training camp and he'll have to prove himself. And the Browns have at least three other quarterbacks, including Joe Flacco, who's a pretty well-known backup and starter in the league over the years. They brought him in addition to the guy that had been starting for them, and now they've got two other quarterbacks, including Sanders. So he's got a steep hill to climb even to make the team. Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't, then you'll have Stephen A. Smith out there again claiming it's racism. He might end up playing for the Battlehawks or something. I mean, who knows? I'm just kidding.
He would never do that.
They drafted a quarterback before Sanders. The Browns did.
I know. They drafted some other quarterback before they finally got to this guy.
So I didn't realize that you don't have a contract, that you more or less have to try out if you're not a first round draft pick.
I believe that's the case.
Very interesting to me.
Yeah.
Huh.
You have to make the team.
So if you're first round, guaranteed what? Like two, three-year contract?
You get a guaranteed amount of money that you're going to be on. You're going to be on the team. I'm pretty sure if you're drafted in the first round, like, my distant cousin was a guy named Tim Couch, and he was the number one pick in the NFL draft in 2000, right? And I know this specifically because my uncle was, we're distantly related, but my uncle and his dad were pretty close. He got a $12 million signing bonus, right? I remember this story. And it was to the Cleveland Browns, in fact. And he had them delay the signing bonus by 6 months so that he could buy a condo in Florida and become a resident of the state of Florida. And that move saved him, I don't know how much money, but he didn't have to pay any state income tax on that $12 million signing bonus.
Smart.
So it was very smart. Mm-hmm. So those first round picks, and he was the first pick in the NFL draft in 2000, they get huge signing bonuses. So Tom's in here. Let's get to Tom real quick, and I don't think we need the intro at this point.
At this point, no.
We're sponsored by McDonald's.
We were talking about Shedeur Sanders really quickly.
Yeah, and by the way, I apologize. I got a lot going on over there.
That's okay.
I appreciate you giving me a little extra time.
No, no big deal. So Sanders didn't get picked to the third round, right?
Oh my God.
He does not
talk about this.
No.
Tom's like, I'm
going
to go ahead and just leave.
I could care less about that. But our question was. She said, or was about the contract. If you get picked outside of the first round,
you don't get a
guaranteed contract, right?
You have to try out.
Outside of the first round?
Like, he'll go to the Browns.
You know how far I am from covering the NFL? I mean, I covered the NFL for a long time. Back then, a guaranteed contract,
I thought only first rounders got it.
I think it could be first round only. Yeah. But at any rate, I mean, look, here's my summary of Shedeur Sanders. I'm sure this has been talked about endlessly in everybody's circles
not here.
Forever. He's not a game-changing talent, or I guarantee you a team would take him. It's that simple.
Yeah.
Okay? The NFL, I mean,
they want to win.
Take a look around. they will put you on the team if you're great.
If you beat your wife, you're gonna change, they'll still put you on the team.
If they believe you're a game-changing talent, they will put you on the team. Now, you know, Sanders is a good player. I mean, he was a good college player. But, you know, these talent evaluators do their homework. Can he throw under pressure in the NFL? This is not a Big 12 or Pac-12 defense that he'd be facing. Did Travis Hunter, who I think is the best player in college football, easily bail him out of a lot of situations? Is he great because of Travis? Is he great because of Deion Sanders, his dad, hyping him up? Is he great because of all the TV exposure he got, maybe put him ahead of some other quarterbacks? You know, does he surround himself with the right people, or, you know, does he carry himself the right way? All these things are factors. Too many questions for a football team to give you a guaranteed deal to be the game changer for the franchise.
Right.
I mean, it's a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying he won't be good. I mean, he could end up being a great player. I mean, heck, there are undrafted
Look
quarterbacks.
At Brady.
Kurt Warner was an undrafted quarterback, became a great player. I hope he is a great player. I really do. I enjoyed watching him in college. I have no bad feelings towards Shedeur Sanders at all. I know some people don't like him because of the way he talks or carries himself or whatever. I just look at, from a football standpoint, I didn't believe in the beginning when I kept hearing him being this first-round pick, hyped top of the first round or mid-first round. I'm like, really? I mean, I watched a lot of quarterbacks make plays. I like Sanders, but I don't see how he translates to the NFL as a guaranteed, like, game-changing quarterback. Mm-hmm. That's just my opinion.
All right,
so
well,
that's where I kind of
We'll switch to a different topic.
Let's talk about the Blues real quick. What do they get? What are they? So they figured this out, and they figured out how to beat this Winnipeg team now?
Those are good, two good wins.
They're in the goalie's head.
Yeah.
I mean,
you think?
Connor, oh my gosh, are you kidding? I mean, Connor Hellebuck is a mess. He is an absolute mess right now. He gave up 6 goals in game 3, and the Blues added an empty netter. They had 6 on him, and then one other one. They pulled him in game 3. They pulled him in game 4. He hasn't been pulled in back-to-back games hardly in his life. This is the best goalie in the NHL. Connor Hellebuck is going to win the Vezina Trophy. This is the best goalie in the NHL.
It's a big deal, though.
Getting shelled by not only the Blues, but the Blues fans chanting, "We want Connor," after he got pulled.
I didn't know that.
I mean, they're all up in his head. I mean, the chants were – it was unbelievable. I mean, it really – is amazing to watch this happen. Now, if I'm Winnipeg, I'm starting him in game 5 in Winnipeg because he's back home. Although he was a little shaky in game 1, he was better in game 2. A complete disaster in games 3 and 4. Is he the reason they lost? He's one of them. The other one is the Blues are just being extremely aggressive in front of the net. They're doing exactly what you need to do to win in the playoffs. They look phenomenal. They were the best team in the NHL from late February to now. This is no shocker. The best team in the NHL for the last 2 months has been the St. Louis Blues, and they look like it. So now they go to Winnipeg. If they steal one and carry this momentum, they come back home. They will not be going back to Winnipeg. They'll win game 6 here.
Oh, that's nuts.
If they lose this up there, which could happen, Winnipeg's great. They come home, they could try to even the series and then force a game 7, which anything can happen. So whatever it is, the Blues are in a great position right now.
When's the next game?
Wednesday night.
The fact that they're playing Winnipeg, which is the number one team, right? Then they're doing well right now. I feel like that is building everyone's confidence of what the Blues can do.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I really think the number one team in the league over the last 2 months has not been Winnipeg. It's not been Washington. It's been the Blues. I mean, they really have been great. But I agree with you, Kim. It's just the 8-1 thing. It is just phenomenal what they've been able to accomplish. And the crowd, of course, lit up the place. And it's a lot of fun to watch them. But it is 2-2, and they have a lot of work to do still. But the way that they're playing – and, you know, they didn't play great in the first period either. But Jake Neighbors gets that goal right before the end of the first period. And you know they go into that room like, all right, boys, all right. Now it's 1-1. I mean, we didn't have a great part of that first period, but Neighbors scores, gets it 1-1. And they came out the second half of the second period, scored 3 goals. Game over at that point. And in the third period, they finished the job, and the Blues are hitting. They're being aggressive. Winnipeg's pushing back. They're an aggressive team. I'd say somewhat dirty a couple of times there late in the third period. The Blues will remember that, and they'll be ready to go for game 5. This is a very, very, to your point, Kim, confident Blues team. Confidence is an amazing thing in sports, especially in the playoffs.
Tom, we're out of time, my friend. Thank you, though.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate you making it. That's awesome.
See you, Tom. All
right, quick break. We're back right after this. All right, welcome back. Just a quick reminder, we are going to be carrying that News Nation event, which is a live town hall with Donald Trump on Wednesday evening right here on the radio station. We figured, number one, you'd want to hear because President Trump is going on a network, well, it's a cable newscast, right, to do a live town hall to take questions. And the interesting thing about it is, it's Bill O'Reilly is going to be one of the people asking some questions, so that ought to be entertaining, him mixing it up with President Trump. Chris Cuomo, who, of course, of CNN, who now works for News Nation, it's changed his tune on Trump a little bit, I think, since he left CNN, to be honest with you. And Stephen Smith, the sports commentator, podcaster, who's delved into politics and even hinted at running as a Democrat for president in 2028. Now, I don't know how serious he is about that, and I don't think he'd have an Ice Cube's chance in hell, but it'll be interesting because all three of them are going to play some role in this town hall event with President Trump. I'm kind of looking forward to watching it, quite frankly, but you'll be able to listen to the coverage here live on 97.1 FM on Wednesday night. So also, Annie Frye is live in, she's in D.C. today. We talked to her earlier in the show. She was in the White House press briefing room. She had just seen Brian Kilmeade, who was outside interviewing Pam Bondi and Peter Ducey and all those people. You could see her in the shot to the left of the podium when they showed a wide shot. It's pretty cool. So be sure to tune in for Annie's show a little later today. I'm sure she'll have be on there with all the details of her trip to Washington covering the president's 100th day. Enjoy this beautiful Monday. How about that? Kim and I and Ethan will be back here tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. We'll see you then.